This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. JNSPG staff will read synopses of articles which have been published online this week. The full text versions of these articles can be found in the online and print versions of the journal.
Hello and welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for July 2nd, 2010. I'm Carol Chowdhury and I will be reading synopses of one clinical article, two laboratory investigations, and one case report. Published online today by the Journal of Neurosurgery. This clinical article is entitled Supratentorial Cavernous Malformations in Eloquent and Deep Locations, Surgical Approaches and Outcomes. It was written by Edward F. Chang and colleagues. Resection of cavernous malformations located in functionally eloquent areas of the supratentorial compartment is controversial. Hemorrhage from untreated lesions can result in devastating neurological injury, but surgery has potentially serious risks. The authors present an organized system of approaches that can guide operative planning and lead to acceptable neurological outcomes in surgical patients. This system is based on a review of 79 consecutive patients who underwent micro-resection of supratentorial cavernous malformations in eloquent and deep brain regions, including the basal ganglia, sensorimotor cortex, language cortex, thalamus, visual cortex, and corpus callosum. A total of 13 different microsurgical approaches were organized into four groups: superficial, lateral transylvian, medial interhemispheric, and posterior approaches. Complete resection was achieved in 76 patients, 96.2%. Overall, the functional neurological status of patients improved at the time of hospital discharge and at follow-up. At 6 months, 64 patients, 81%, were improved relative to their preoperative condition, and 14 patients, 18%, were unchanged. The author's system of 13 microsurgical approaches to six target locations with four general trajectories facilitates safe access to supratentorial cavernous malformations in eloquent brain regions. Favorable neurological outcomes following microsurgical resection justify an aggressive surgical attitude toward these lesions. This laboratory investigation is entitled Sphenopalatine Ganglion Stimulation for Vasospasm After Experimental Subarachnoid Hemorrhage. It was written by Masataka, Takahashi, and colleagues. Takahashi, Zhang, and McDonald studied the effect of stimulation of the sphenopalatine ganglion on vasospasm after subarachnoid hemorrhage in a non-human primate model. The sphenopalatine ganglion sends vasodilatory nerves to the ipsilateral anterior circulation arteries, so ganglion stimulation can release nitric oxide and cause vasodilation. This treatment is already in clinical trials for ischemic stroke. In this study, stimulation dilated vasospastic arteries and improved cerebral blood flow, although it also opened the blood-brain barrier. Further studies in humans may be indicated. This laboratory investigation is entitled Improvement in Neurological Outcome and Abolition of Cerebrovascular Endothelin B and 5-hydroxytryptamine 1B Receptor Upregulation through Mitogen-Activated Protein Kinase 1/2 Inhibition After Subarachnoid Hemorrhage in Rats. It was written by Carl Christian Larsen and colleagues. Delayed cerebral ischemia after subarachnoid hemorrhage, or SAH, remains a major cause of death and disability. It is thought to be the result of pathological vasoconstriction of cerebral arteries after SAH, a phenomenon called cerebral vasospasm. The etiology of these vasospasms remains largely enigmatic. In a series of recent studies, it has been demonstrated that cerebral arteries undergo the upregulation of various vasoconstrictor receptors in their smooth muscles after an SAH. It has also been shown that this receptor upregulation is mediated by intracellular signals involving the MEK-ERK1/2 pathway. The authors hypothesize that cerebrovascular receptor upregulation is a key step in the development of cerebral vasospasms and delayed cerebral ischemia after SAH. Data in the present study show that treatment with the MEK1/2 inhibitor U0126 abolishes cerebrovascular upregulation of vasoconstrictor endothelin and serotonin receptors in experimental SAH in rats. Furthermore, the data demonstrate that treatment with U0126 alleviates neurological deficits caused by delayed cerebral ischemia after SAH. These findings suggest that cerebrovascular receptor upregulation is critical for the development of delayed cerebral ischemia, and that MEK1/2 inhibition may be a promising novel SAH treatment strategy. This case report is entitled Disruption of Cigarette Smoking Addiction After Posterior Cingulate Damage. It was written by Behir Jaraya and colleagues. There is increasing interest in identifying the circuits of the brain that drive addiction to drugs and cigarette smoking. In this case report, the authors describe the first association between a lesion of the posterior cingulate cortex following an intracerebral hemorrhage from an arteriovenous malformation and the complete and immediate disruption of a cigarette smoking addiction in a heavily addicted young woman. Remarkably, a thorough neuropsychological examination ruled out a general loss of interest and any other abnormal behavior, making the addiction disruption much more specific. Using MR diffusion tensor imaging technology, the authors could track the cingulate cortex fibers and show the selective extent of the degeneration. The authors believed that this observation adds an important new insight into the neurological role of the posterior cingulate cortex and, more generally, into the neural correlates of addiction. It is acknowledged that this correlation study includes only a single case report. Thus, it should be investigated in a larger clinical study and interpreted very carefully before any neurosurgical consequence can be considered.
Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all our weekly podcasts delivered straight to you. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.